Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
That's right. Lock it in, ladies and gentlemen, because we got a Chris versus the fan coming your way. Chris has been on a pretty ridiculous tear here recently and has frustrated the likes of Matt Scraby here.
He's 34 for 47 right now.
What did I do? Miss 13 questions yesterday?
Yesterday, because of my concession that the Stanford football stadium is not called the library, you only missed three, but you got four right. So,
by the way, the open to this segment, I think if people don't know me well enough, they're actually going to think that Steve Alford is one of my favorite coaches of all time.
But he is, because you said it.
So please add a throw up sounder to that statement or something so people understand that I don't like Steve Alford and I don't want anybody thinking that I do.
So we'll put this in there.
I didn't ask for that.
Sometimes no. I am a child.
You guys who want to participate in Chris versus the Fan, give us a call, 833-288-0973. You have a chance to qualify for our grand prize, a round of golf or two, a $250 food and beverage credit, and a two-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino. Legendary Vegas fun, 21 years or older to play. Do we have any more housekeeping before we get into this game? What's your name? Scraby.
What's your name? Nope, let's go.
All right.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the Fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Got a few lines open. Again, if you want to participate, 833-288-0973. Scraby, can we get the rules, please?
You have to make it through three questions. Each question's going to get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win.
All right. Well, let's hop into this game. And our first contestant on Hump Day is John. John, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Hump Day to you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Hey, John.
No problem, John. Here we go. Here we go. First question. What pizza company has a toy as a logo?
What pizza company has a toy as a logo?
Yes.
Tony's giving me crazy eyes like you made up a crazy question.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't blame you, Domino. For not knowing, because... Oh, there it is! Domino.
Got it.
Now, is a domino a toy? Is that what we're classifying a domino as?
It's not a board game, because it's not on a board. That's all I got. Thank you.
Game.
Thank you very much.
So dominoes... domino because... never mind.
No, a domino is a toy.
Let's not go down this rabbit hole.
How many little children play with dominoes?
More than you know, okay?
Go sit in the corner and play with your dominoes. Nobody tells their kid that.
Okay, a domino is it's officially a tile-based game. Lame.
Okay, thank you for the clarification, Scrape. Here
anyway,
we go.
Good
question
job.
Number two, John.
John, you got it somehow. That's the key.
I don't know how, but I'll take it.
All right, here we go. What job did Kurt Warner famously hold before he found success in the NFL?
Okay, well, I know it was a grocery store. I'm going to say a grocery bagger or grocery store. Hopefully one of those gets it.
You got both of them. We'll give it to you.
Way to
grocery
go.
Bagger was what we were looking for.
Yes.
You named it. You move on to the third
Dennis
round.
Quaid going to be starring in the Kurt Warner story coming out soon.
I saw that.
Is he working on his bagging skills?
I guess he might have to. I mean, he kind of has to.
Well, here we go. Question number three. What year did Roger Goodell take over as commissioner of the NFL?
Was that Chewbacca?
No. I feel like I should know this. I'm going to say after Philip Rivers, I'm going to say 2000 and let's go with 8, please.
2008.
Stay there.
Hang on, John. Chris has an opportunity to steal.
I think he's in his 15th year, so I'm trying to think whether it's 7 or
6. Come on.
2000, I'll say 6.
Come on.
Oh, 6.
I'm going to put you down, John, so you don't swear.
It just said he was going into his 15th year. I just heard that the other day. When
John deserves the win, but...
Why?
No one knows that. Literally.
They just said he was going... They interviewed him like a couple of weeks ago, and he said he's going into his 15th year. So I did a little math.
Okay.
That's... I got...
Good math. Here we go. Let's move to our next contestant, Chuck. Chuck, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Wednesday to you.
Hey, Chuck.
You too. Hey, happy Wednesday, guys. Thank you.
No problem. Here we go. First question. What pick was Philip Rivers selected at in the 2004 NFL draft by the New York Giants?
I believe he was the fifth pick.
Fifth? Incorrect.
That buzzer is so steep. Well, Eli was the first pick, and I believe Rivers was the fourth pick, and Roethlisberger was the eighth pick. So I'll say fourth.
Sorry, oh, jeez. Did you guys hear that too?
What was that?
Yeah,
what
I have no idea what that was, but it scared me. I'm not going to lie.
If you guys could have seen Scraby jump out of his chair.
That was really scary.
I thought lightning struck the Intercom Empire studio.
I think it may have. It's like one of those times where you get so scared that you, like, chills go down your spine.
Wow.
Yeah, Scraby was definitely spooked right there. Let's get to our next contestant, Steven. Welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy Wednesday to you.
Hey, Steven.
Oh, Steven.
So he hung up.
Steven.
Well, we move on to Michael. Michael, welcome to Gwen and Chris. Happy hump day.
Look out for Michael.
Happy hump day, guys.
Michael. Happy hump day. Here we go. First question. Okay, hope you were watching some football this weekend. Which quarterback has the most passing... Excuse me, which quarterback had the most yards passing in last weekend's divisional playoffs? Playoffs?
Playoffs.
Oh, man. I did not watch as much as I should have. But I'm going to guess Rodgers.
A-Rod.
Winner.
Can't go wrong with Mr. Rodgers. That is correct. He had 296 passing yards.
Yeah.
You're on to round number two, Michael.
Good job, Michael.
Newly crowned ace of the Padres, Blake Snell, grew up in the state of...
I'm going to guess Washington.
He's going to guess Washington.
Good guess.
That is correct.
Goodness. One out of 50 shot.
I can tell you, he's not
cheating. I knew it was West Coast.
He's not cheating.
Yeah, he definitely.
Oh, Tony, you missed it.
He definitely has a West Coast swag to him, for sure. All right, here we go. Question number three. This is a tough one right here. Doug Peterson is the second coach to be fired within three seasons after winning a Super Bowl. What team did the other coach get fired from?
After winning a Super Bowl or being at a Super Bowl?
Winning.
That is a tough one. Good questions, Greg.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got to give some time.
I'm going to have to count you down. Five.
Packers? Ooh. Packers?
Packers.
Green Bay Packers. Stay there.
Oh, it's what team? Chris. We don't have to even name the coach.
No, right? No, that'd be way too hard.
No, the team.
Team won the Super Bowl. Coach got fired within 3 years.
Correct.
Yes.
I don't know if he got fired. I'll say Denver.
Denver Broncos.
Wow.
We have ourselves a winner. Michael, congratulations. Hang on.
How long did Gary Kubiak last after he won the Super Bowl? I'm just curious.
I think he retired a year after.
I don't think he got fired.
He maybe didn't get fired.
Yeah, I don't think he got fired.
That's a great question.
Thank you.
The answer is the Baltimore Colts.
Yeah.
They fired Don McCaffrey.
Don McCaffrey. Oh, my God. You're going back to 1970.
Yeah, 1972. Woo. After winning the 1970, when he refused to bench Johnny Unitas.
Yes. Well, he took over for Don Shula in Baltimore, and actually won the Super Bowl his very first year as a coach. Shula went to Miami, and the year you're talking about, 72, Shula went undefeated, and McCaffrey got fired. That's a great question, Scrape. That's one of your
He didn't want to bench Johnny Unitas, huh?
Yeah, I guess not. I don't think he had a whole lot. I don't recall him having a whole lot of talent to choose from there at the time. They were not a great team that year.
I was talking to a friend over the weekend because we were talking about Drew Brees retiring, and who can we compare now? Like, when I have grandchildren, and they're asking me about the NFL and the NFL's history. Are we talking about Drew Brees and Ben Roethlisberger and Philip Rivers and Tom Brady like we're talking about Johnny Unitas and Roger Staubach and Staubach? I don't know how to pronounce
yes.
it. Is that who we're going to yes. be kind of referencing? Like,
well,
put it in place.
I don't. It's hard to say because the interesting thing about Drew, Tom,
Philip, Ben,
even Aaron Rodgers to some degree, they kind of came in. As the NFL was starting to shift to like a more predominantly pass, they hadn't quite got to where they are now.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas a guy like Patrick Mahomes and Jackson and Allen, they're all going to be they're going to benefit from the shot of playing in this era right now.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? So they're probably going to blow through some of these records if they get a chance to play long enough.
Yeah, because if I don't know anything about Johnny Unitas other than the fact he was a great quarterback, so I just ask people like Chris and he'll fill me in.
About how great Johnny U was?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He threw a touchdown pass in 48 consecutive games back in an era where nobody threw touchdown passes.
So wow!
That's one of his greatest statistics. It held up for a long time until I think Marino broke it, and then Peyton Manning broke that. So, actually, Marino was at 48. Unitas was at 36, maybe. Believe it or not, that was, like, pretty good for 1960s. But, you know, it's hard to compare quarterbacks from that era to now because those guys called their own plays.
That is awesome,
That's another thing. Staubach and Fran Tarkenton and Bob Greasy and, you know, Stabler and Bradshaw, and they called their own plays. I mean, that's totally different from what quarterbacks do nowadays, obviously. So
yeah, definitely a different game. All right, let's step away. take a break when we come back. Speaking of quarterbacks, we've been talking about Philip Rivers and his retirement. We're going to talk to one of his ex-teammates, a guy who used to cover his blind side. Marcus McNeil will join us next. This is Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station. But here's the Fans Traffic Report from the Valley View Casino and Hotel Traffic Center.
Welcome back to the program. 420 is the time. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris hanging out with you at 97.3 The Fan until 7 o'clock this evening. Eric Williams, who covered the AFC West for many years, talking about the career of Philip Rivers, will join us in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now, joining us to talk about the career of Philip Rivers, one of my all-time favorite guys to interview as a San Diego Charger. Fun-loving, always classy, always available, always good with his time, and always had something fun to say, and a pretty good blocker as well. The pride of the University of Auburn Tigers, Mr. Marcus McNeil, joins the program here on 97.3 The Fan. Does a podcast right now called Two Pros and a Joe. He works with Greg Camarillo, and the Joe in question is Matt Scraby. Marcus, let me congratulate you for being able to get through that on a weekly basis.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I might have to bring you to a coordination or two because I like the way you introduced me. You made me feel nice and important.
Yeah, well, you were always one of my favorite guys when I was in the locker room trying to track down an interview, and I remember it and appreciate it very much. I'm assuming Philip Rivers remembers you and appreciates you very much, protecting his blind side all those years. What were some of your thoughts today when you heard about his retirement?
Man, you know, Boys to Men popped in my head, man. You know, that old school Boys to Men, you know, although we go to the end of the road, man, you know, and I knew it was the end of the road for my boy, but you know, he just had such a great career, man. And, you know, some of the people that he's up there with are some of the greatest quarterbacks that you're ever going to know in the NFL, and he's right there alongside of him, you know. So, man, I just got so much love for that guy, man. I just appreciate him. I love him, his family, everything that he does, you know. So I was proud, a little bit of sad at the same time that we'll see him go. But, you know, just ready to welcome to the other side, you know.
Marcus, we've been debating people calling in today as we – been talking about Philip Rivers and his Hall of Fame, what we feel like is a Hall of Fame career. For those that who only got a chance to see Philip and him barking at the other team, what would you tell those people in terms of what he was like on the field and how good he was?
Man, he hands down probably the best quarterback I've been around. You know, between him, watching him and Tom Brady up close in my career personally just lets me know how elite of a quarterback he was. And he was till this year. You know, he could throw the ball. He was a monster competitor. You know, he ran the field like a general at the same time. So when you have those aspects as a quarterback, you can really win. And he proved that he could do that year in and year out.
Marcus, you blocked for his blind side. Can you share any fun stories with Philip Rivers, or was there such a thing as a fun story if your guy ever got past you and got a piece of Philip Rivers on a particular play in a game? He was so competitive, I imagine he probably gave you the evil eye.
Oh, man. Hey, I'm telling you, watching him just kind of have a breakdown in the huddle was comedy in itself, you know. it would almost seem like he had steam coming out of his ears, and he would get so worked up, you know what I mean? And if things weren't going exactly the way that he wanted it to go, and he was just that type of guy, man. But I think my favorite play of mine with his is when I was blocking Dwight Freeney. And we all know he had a mean spin move on him. So
yeah.
I'm sitting there trying my best to keep up with the spin move, and all I can do is just – he spinned off of me so smooth, I turned with him. And I ended up just boxing him out like I used to in basketball. But now Philip is sitting right there in my face, and I'm looking at him like, hey, hey, this isn't how this is supposed to go. Throw it. Throw it. And I just started screaming, throw it. So he ends up chugging it down the field real quick. And he's like, who was that? And I was like, hey, man, Phillip, that was me. He was like, bro, you can't tell me just to throw the ball. I was like, hey, it was either you, it was either me or you. You know what I'm saying? And I'd rather it be me.
That's funny. That is a terrific story. Talk to me about this, because I've heard a lot from – you've seen a lot from some of the young guys that came into the locker room that got a chance to be Phillip's teammate. Melvin Gordon pops to mind. He had a nice post about it. Was he the type of guy that kind of embraced the young guys a little bit?
He definitely was. As soon as I came in right as Drew Brees was leaving out of San Diego, and it was Phillip's time to take the reins. And when he came in, he just came in with a certain level of class, and even though he wasn't that much older than me, he felt like a veteran from the day he took the field. He felt like he was already a starter, you know. So he kind of had that about himself, but because he was so young and we were a young team, he knew how to relate to us, you know. The best thing I know about Phillip Rivers is that when I first started playing for the team, he was like, hey, I know who Outkast is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm from the dirty South. You know what I mean? So I'm like, what you know about Outkast, Phillip? But, you know, it was that playfulness and that energy that made you feel comfortable to just go out there and compete as a young player and not really get caught up too much on, you know, how long you've been here, or this guy over here is supposed to be, you know, all this, all world, all that. You know, we just came out there to compete.
Marcus, did you ever want to tell him just to go ahead and let it ride and just let a swear word slip out? It was okay.
Oh, we tried our best, you know what I'm saying? Phillip's that one guy who, like, it's hard to poke at his armor, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's solid all the way around, you know? And you know, he's so crafty, and he isn't scared of a debate. He isn't scared of an argument. He's not scared to let you know how he feels, especially when he's fired up. So, like, he knows what he's doing, you know. So it's like he's almost pushing buttons. He can push your button quicker than you might be able to push his. So it kind of kept you from being able to kind of back him into a corner, per se.
But he was a great trash talker out on the field still, right? I mean, that was one of his great attributes, was his ability to talk trash. I can't believe anybody would want to talk trash to somebody like Dwight Freeney or any of those guys.
It didn't matter, man. It didn't matter. You line them up, we're going to knock them down. So that's how we came out on the field. That's how he approached the game. And to be honest, I love a quarterback like that. You know, I don't want somebody who's going to be timid, because if you're timid, you're going to be timid in that pocket. And I just need you confident and ready to go. You know, he was a part of it. Oh, man, he was a part of it all. And he didn't back down from nowhere. I loved it.
Phil, let me ask you this about Phillip, because obviously he did get a chance to get to that Super Bowl. And that seems to be the one thing that is going to end up being left off his Super Bowl. In terms of Hall of Fame, is that can't be the only qualification, because, I mean, obviously the argument today has been, well, you know, Manning, Eli got one, Ben Roethlisberger got one, but Phillip didn't get one. Should that even matter?
It doesn't matter, and I'm going to go back to one of my all-time favorite quarterbacks, Dan Marino. Dan Marino never ended up with that championship either. But if you ask people, you know, probably before Brees and Brady come around, who's the top five quarterback, Dan Marino's in that conversation every time, you know. So his career speaks for itself. The stats speak for itself. You know, he didn't make it. To be honest, we should have won a Super Bowl, but we didn't. But that's not just on him. That was a team thing, you know. It's 53 guys that go out there to try and win that special trophy, and we couldn't bring it back. So I hate that he didn't have, you know, that to put on his resume. But the numbers he put up, the amount of Pro Bowls he's been to, you know, the guy he is on the field and off the field, besides the trash talking, you know, like he deserves to wear that jacket.
Yeah, I think he's going to one day. Marcus McNeil is with us, protected Phillip Rivers' blind side for the Chargers for many years. Marcus, last thing for me, Phillip Rivers, tremendous guy. We've heard about how great he was. You guys had interesting relationships, I'm assuming, offensive line to quarterback. What was the best present he ever bought you guys as an offensive line? And if you don't mind sharing, what was kind of the goofiest present he ever bought you as an offensive line?
Best present, easy. MacBook Air, he bought those when they first came out. That was pretty dope, you know, especially coming out of college and everything. Just having that brand new sleek Apple laptop was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then he got us some 12 gauges one time.
12 gauges?
with our names engraved on the side of some shotguns, man. But that was pretty cool. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
That was pretty dope too. So between those, man.
Go ahead, Marcus, go ahead.
No, but between those two, man, those are two that always stick out in my mind. And this shows you the type of guy he was, just to think about you at a special time of the year like that.
Absolutely. Well, before we let you get out of here, got to get your Super Bowl pick. Who you think's going to get there? Who you think's going to win it?
Oh, man, I really want Tom to get there because it was Super Bowl or bust. But I think I'm going to have to go with my dog, Scravy, who thought about it the other day and said it's going to be the Green Bay versus KC game. It's going to be a State Farm shootout.
State Farm double check. That's right.
All right. Well, Marcus, great catching up with you. Thanks so much for joining us. Always been fun. And continued good luck with the podcast, Two Pros and a Joe, Marcus McNeil. You can get it wherever you listen to your podcasts. And Marcus is just a great guy, and I'm glad to hear you're doing well. Thanks for coming on the show. Good catching up with you, sir.
Hey, man, always, man. I look forward to doing it again. You guys have a great one.
We sure will. Thank you, Marcus. Marcus McNeil right there, one of the great Charger offensive linemen who helped protect Phillip Rivers during a good portion of Rivers' career here in San Diego. And I'm not surprised that he's going to tell you right away that Rivers should be going straight into the Hall of Fame. And pretty sure that most people are going to wind up agreeing with Marcus McNeil right there. All right, we'll take a quick break. I was trying to think, Tony. I interviewed him one time back in the day when he was playing, and he was telling me, and I should have asked him, but now he's gone. But he was telling me about his favorite deep-fried meal that he had, because he's a Southern guy all the way
yes,
around.
Yes, he is.
And you asked him about it one time, Scraby,
okay.
On the podcast.
All
but
right.
He had some crazy deep fried dish that he used to eat, and I was like, "How do you even deep fry that?" Like, I didn't even like understand how you could do it.
It's like deep frying ice cream. It just boggles
it was something
the mind.
Like that. Yeah, it was something like that. But Marcus McNeil, one thing you could always get with him is he'd love to talk food.
Sounds like my type of guy.
He is totally our type of guy. Believe me, he could talk food with the best of them. I think a good block on Dwight Freeney and eating are the two favorite things.
By the way, that story was epic.
That was so funny. Throw the ball!
He was worried about the spin move and got beat and just boxed him out. I can totally see that, too.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
Who was that?
It was me. You can't tell me to throw the ball. We get into stories like that all the time, and one of them he told us last night was that when, like, sometimes he would flinch and he wouldn't want to get a false start, so he would look over at Philip and go, "What'd you say, Phil?"
Yeah.
trying to get out of a false start. And he said it worked a lot of the time. He would get his hands going like, "I don't understand."
Yeah. He's a very funny guy. He is a very, very funny guy. Marcus McNeil, no question about it. All right, great having him on the program. Great stuff on Phillip Rivers there. We'll take a break. San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. When we come back, it's Big Five time with Gwynn and Chris.
Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Sello. This hour is brought to you by the Auto Club of Southern California. Looking to save money on auto insurance? It's easy. Get your free quote at AAA.com/insurance. You could save even more when you bundle your homeowner's or renter's policy, too. Visit AAA.com/insurance today for your free quote. Before we get to the Big Five, here's the Fan traffic report from the Valley View Casino and Hotel Traffic Center.
It's time to embark on a twisting and turning journey through sports. A strange journey.
What can I do? How can I reverse this?
Sit back, relax, and ignore that last part if you're driving.
Always have your hands at 10 and 2 with 97.3 on your radio.
Gwen and Chris go through the best of the rest of the day. The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
The Big Five is brought to you by Penske, Lincoln, and La Mesa. Good looks, elegance, sophistication. That's what it's like to drive a Lincoln, and Penske, Lincoln, and La Mesa makes it uncomplicated and easy. Penske, Lincoln, 8850 Grossman Boulevard. So, guys.
Yes.
We have lots of football today, and we'll get right into it because we have so much to cover.
Number five.
If you would like to reach out to us, you can through Twitter, Instagram. I am at Matt Scraby. We got at Tony Gwynn Jr. We have at ChrisLOSD, and the station is at 97.3TheFanSD. And again, I said it yesterday, we're doing some good things on Instagram, so it's just 97.3TheFan on Instagram.
It's not Instagram, Scraby.
Get IG.
Get hip.
But
will
for
you?
All the people who are like me who call it Instagram, they won't know that IG is the place.
No, nobody calls it Instagram, bro. It's just they'll you calling it Instagram.
The Instagram app, you can go to 97.3TheFan. That's how we do things here.
The Instagram application.
Application. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. We needed that clarification, that was for sure.
Yes.
Robert Saleh, my old guy, is now the head coach of the Jets, but one of his former players is advocating for Deshaun Watson to the Jets. Free agent and former 49ers quarterback Richard Sherman said, quote, "If I was Deshaun, I'd get out of there as quickly as possible. I'd head to New York, the Jets." End quote. That was on Chris Collinsworth's podcast. That's a hard thing to say. This comes on the heels of Deshaun liking a post linking him to the Jets, and this also coming on the heels of James Harden leaving Houston in a ball of fire. People are now floating the idea that Deshaun Watson is pulling a James Harden. So, Chris, do you think that is an unfair comparison?
Yes, I do. I think James Harden completely forced his way out of Houston by coming in out of shape, not playing well, intentionally, practically. Didn't come to training camp, wasn't anywhere to be found. I did not care for the way James Harden forced his way out of Houston, and I wish him nothing but ill luck in Brooklyn. As far as Deshaun Watson is concerned, I feel like he was treated poorly by the Houston Texans, not involved in decision-making, at least not even getting an opinion from your superstar franchise quarterback. I think that's showing a lack of respect, and I can understand why he's a little bit upset. But it would not be, God, he wouldn't be the first guy to leave Houston right now, right? James Harden's left. George Springer's left. They could lose Deshaun Watson, too. Houston's running out of star athletes quicker than we can speak.
That is true. What do you think, Tony?
Yeah, I don't think the situations are even close to the same. I mean, Deshaun's issues are complex, it seems like, right? I mean, you got to take it back. He was a rookie, I believe, the year the late owner said something about the inmates running in an asylum or something like that.
Yes.
All of those things over time, that and the decision to get rid of DeAndre Hopkins without any notice. He said he found that out on Twitter. So when you start kind of seeing that kind of happening over and over again, and it's not as like Deshaun Watson is a scrub. He's literally one of the faces of your franchise, and one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And it's just a completely different situation. As Chris said, James Harden had been to what? How many conference finals had he been to in a row? I mean, he had been to like three at least before the streak broke last year. And it just seems as though he was just unhappy with getting over the top. It's not as though Houston didn't try to get him to pieces to be successful. They've tried everything. I mean, he went through Dwight Howard. He went through, Russell Westbrook,
yeah.
Chris Paul. So, I mean, they tried their damnedest to get that team there, but it didn't work out. And then he, as Chris said, the way he went out just wasn't a good look, ultimately. So I don't think these two things are the same at all.
You know what I love about this question is that Richard Sherman didn't say he needed to become the quarterback of the 49ers. He said the Jets, which means that Richard Sherman is backing my guy Jimmy G as the quarterback of the 49ers.
I'm glad you're happy.
Is that what you got out of that?
That's the first thing I thought. If Richard Sherman did not like Jimmy G as a quarterback, he would say, Go to the 49ers, Deshaun Watson, not the Jets.
Richard's probably not even going to be a 49er.
No, he's probably not. But he'll
probably
he's
a Jet.
So he's a free agent.
He might be a Jet. You're right. If he becomes a Jet, then that, my theory is completely false and wrong.
Yes,
but,
he is.
Yeah. Richard Sherman. Good Jimmy G guy.
Number four.
Ravens head coach
As
John.
As of now.
That was a creepy laugh. John Harbaugh wants none of your criticism about his offense. After losing to the Bills 17-3 Saturday night with a pretty dismal effort on offense, offensive coordinator Greg Roman was criticized for the simplistic passing attack. Harbaugh told media today he is, quote-unquote, not apologizing for Lamar Jackson's style of play or the team's run-oriented game plan. Tony, can the Ravens get back to the Super Bowl with the style of offense they currently have?
Yes, they can. They have to shore up the defensive end. And to be honest, that defense played pretty well against Buffalo, who tried to, for some reason, throw 15 straight passes or whatever it was to start the game. But I do think that you got to be, if you're going to have a run heavy offense and there's success to be had there, we've seen it with Tennessee as well. You do have to be able to have a wrinkle in there. And I said it the other day, I think it was, well, yesterday actually, because it was our first show back.
Does it feel like yesterday was a year ago?
It does. It really does. That being said, I think they may have found something in the playoffs. Looking at how well Hollywood Brown played in the two playoff games, if they can build that momentum and be a true dynamic passing game between those two, and that obviously they already have such a good connect with Andrews, I think they could make something. At the end of the day, Lamar Jackson came out of that game and wasn't allowed to finish. So 3 points looks a lot worse than maybe it could have been.
Chris, what do you think? Do you think the Ravens can get back to the Super Bowl with the current offense they have?
I don't know, but I would like to address the fact that I thought that they played pretty well Saturday night.
Yeah.
Tucker missed two field goals, which never happens. Jackson threw a pick six in the end zone, which turned into a touchdown at the other end of the field. The backup quarterback, Huntley, missed a wide-open Marquise Brown for an easy touchdown when he came into the game in the fourth quarter. Yeah. That's 20 points that they could have easily put on the board in that game that they just missed on.
Right.
So I think the Baltimore Ravens offense is fine in terms of them not having to apologize for what kind of performance they turned in Saturday night. They just didn't finish.
Right.
I will say this, to get to the Super Bowl, like they're talking about a lot of teams needing a, you know, star wide receiver. Imagine if Stephon Diggs was available for Lamar Jackson to throw to instead of Josh Allen.
I think that it would be flipped.
That probably. Baltimore Ravens team would be almost impossible to stop.
Yeah, that would be.
Because they've got one of the best running attacks in NFL history. And I'm not overstating that. The stats back it up. So Hollywood Brown is all right. But, man, if they sign a weapon somewhere in the offseason, man, they could really be tough to stop.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
That's such a good point, because the fact is maybe Hollywood Brown's not a number one wide receiver.
Yeah.
Maybe you go out and get you one and you slide Hollywood over and he's a better two or three.
Yeah.
So that should be where they're looking. I mean, I know they're not going to have too high of a draft pick because they were in the playoffs, but that's if I'm the Ravens, that's what I'm looking to do is get Lamar Jackson a legitimate weapon on the outside to go with that.
Number three.
Sorry.
I guess we're going to number three.
Yeah, Tony. I didn't.
my finger,
it flinched. Honestly, I'm not kidding. So I can't say I stole these stats from, or I can't say I thought up these stats. These are courtesy of Greg Camarillo. So here we go.
Thought them up.
Yeah, he's the one who proposed this to me. Say Tom Brady wins Sunday's NFC Championship and heads to Super Bowl 55. That will be his 10th Super Bowl appearance. 10 Super Bowl appearances in 21 tries goes to a rounded up number of 48% of the time Tom Brady makes the Super Bowl. That is ridiculous, by the way. And then if you take comparison, arguably the best 3-point shooter of all time, Steph Curry, he makes a three 43% of the time. So forget best football player of all time. Chris, if he gets to his 10th Super Bowl, is he the best athlete across all sports of all time?
No, Michael Jordan's still number one.
What? He didn't make the finals 50% of his seasons.
Yes, he made it 75% once he got going.
Wait, once he got going, though?
Actually, once he got going, he made it 1,000% because I think he, right, he did 6 for 6.
He didn't lose the Super Bowl. Sorry, Doc. Yeah. He didn't lose in the NBA Finals.
Brady is top 10 greatest athlete of all time, but man, you got Muhammad Ali in there. You got Jesse Owens.
That is such a Stanford thing to do, right? Isn't that a Stanford thing to come up with? Greg Kimmerly gets to the Super Bowl now. It's going to be about 48% of the time.
Yeah, he's the greatest of all time. Jordan won the thing when ESPN did their countdown to the greatest athletes of the 20th century. I know we're 20 years beyond that now, but he still seems like the GOAT to me. Maybe I'm being a bit of a homer on that. I don't know. Brady's right there. He's in the hunt. But no. My answer's no.
All right. Tony?
Yeah, no, my answer's no.
What?
I mean,
this is crazy. The Super Bowl is probably the hardest thing for someone to get to in
Wayne
sports.
Wayne Gretzky? My goodness. I mean, there's unbelievable people in contention.
But this dude has gone to, could go to 10 Super Bowls out of 21 seasons.
Even if he loses and goes to 9 out of 21, that's still impressive.
Right.
Man. Right. That's crazy, man. Oh, are we done? Is that it?
Yeah, no? We're done with that one.
Okay, all right.
That's a giving you short two. Answer since you cut us off the last one.
Yeah, we're cutting you off on this
well,
one.
Okay, all right. We got time limitations anyway, so I'll take it like that. The Cleveland Cavaliers are expected to part ways with Kevin Porter Jr. after a fiery outburst in the Cavs locker room last Friday, according to The Athletic. Apparently, his locker was given to someone else who just joined the team, and his new locker was near the lounge area with the reserves. The report indicates that Porter started shouting and at one point threw food. However, through the source, they said that the food throwing was relatively minor, so that is something that I needed to know, honestly. However, the confrontation...
Instead of a whole plate, it was just like a piece?
It may have been like a piece of celery that may have hit Kobe Altman in the eye or something like that.
Flung a piece of celery across the room.
It wasn't like a cake that you threw on someone. But the Cavaliers head coach, J.B. Bickerstaff, heard the whole situation and was quote-unquote shocked and disgusted when he came into the locker room. Porter said he felt disrespected. But the team source says that the decision was based on NBA seniority and then COVID-19 protocols of spacing. So they tried to settle him down. It seems to have pushed the general manager, Colby Altman, past his breaking point. Tony, would you want to be the first team to take a chance on Kevin Porter Jr.?
Yeah. What was the question? Take a chance on?
Say the Cavs cut him. Are you going to take a chance on him?
Yeah, I mean, if you read, I read this story a little bit further. It said he was having some kind of mental health issues, it sounded like. I mean, some of his texts or tweets had been a little off kilter lately. So there was some concern there. Yes, I would take a shot at him because he has potential to be a pretty good basketball player. But you also have to be careful of what locker room. It depends on your locker room. If you've got the kind of vets. Cleveland has got that's a relatively young team.
As long as you don't give him a locker next to the lounge, he'll be fine.
I don't know if you'd lose your mind to the extent that he did, but yeah. I could see that being a little bit embarrassing. You walk into the locker room, all of a sudden your locker's in a lounge room.
Near
that's
the
like
reserves.
Major League.
Near the reserves. Yeah,
it's like Major League when they wheeled out Willie Mays' Hayes, his locker. Like, that's kind of... I can see how you'd be a little salty about that.
Yeah. If you gave up on every athlete that had a meltdown in the locker room, for whatever reason they had that meltdown.
But did you hear the food throwing part?
Yeah, I did. He threw a piece of celery.
Well,
we don't know that.
It could have been a wing or a piece of sushi.
Whatever. My point is, if you got rid of every athlete that had a meltdown, you wouldn't have too many athletes left playing any sport.
So. No, you're right.
I'd be willing to give him at least a second opportunity, yes.
All right. Number one. The Powerball Mega Millions California Lottery is out of control right now. The Powerball being drawn tonight is $730 million, and the Mega Millions being drawn on Friday is $970 million. I always get asked to join these, like, pools. Like, put in your money, and then we'll all split it. And sure. I personally do not want to split it with anyone. I'm not splitting it with
greed.
500 people. I want to
Straight
ask you guys,
greed.
Are you more willing to join a pool or go on your own for lottery purposes? I don't know who's first, Tony.
I'm willing to do both. I have no problem joining in a pool. I have no problem joining or doing it myself.
Well, that didn't answer anything. That did not answer anything.
Both
Chris,
are good answers.
If you had to choose one, which way are you going?
I'm going to go the route where I don't play at all because I don't play the lottery. I think it's a big fat waste of money and time.
Well, if you just tuned in for the first day, that is Chris in a nutshell.
That's me, man.
All right, we're going to go.
Chris, 5 o'clock hour on the way, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.